I titled this message, Everything is Meaningless. So it's like, yep, and then I get here and everything like is a little bit more positive, the mood this morning. So, but anyway, it gets there. So we'll just say, so, and I'm going to be reading out of Ecclesiastes, just starting at the start there. Words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, sun sets, hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, turns to the north, round and round it goes, and returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the stream comes from, they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generation. Even those yet to come will not be remembered by those that follow them. So what's the point? What's the point of life? What are we pursuing? Where do we go to find wisdom, meaning and purpose? What's the point of all of our accomplishments? You know, where is our hope when we fail or when life, you know, it's just simple toil and, you know, boredom, honestly. You know, everything is meaningless, you know, and like that passage is, you know, it's pretty hopeless. You know, it's like there's not a lot of praise or peace in there. You know, the writer's tried to find meaning in life, in wisdom, pleasure, work, status, and he's come up empty. To break it down really simply is life's hard and then you die. And interestingly, the Greek word here in Ecclesiastes for meaningless is also used when translating frustration in Romans 8:19-26, where it says, "For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself would be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." This meaninglessness or frustration came when sin entered the world. God didn't create the world to be like this. He didn't design us or creation to suffer. Remember, when God created, He created it to be meaningful, and He created it to be good. You know, remember when in Genesis, you know, where he's created stuff, and He's like, it was good. But because of what Adam did, and that sin, in Genesis 3:17-19, it says, "To Adam He said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it." With me, it's a little bit different. Like, Misha's great. She was often telling me, like, don't eat that. So she's, you know, and, like, sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I wish I did, but, you know, it's like, but anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. So anyway, Adam said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from that tree, which I command you, you must not eat from, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you eat food from it all your days. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. When the writer of Ecclesiastes is looking for meaning, he's looking for it under the sun. The phrase "under the sun" is probably, you know, you could say, in the New Testament, when it's talking about the present age, you know, we're living in this fallen world, and when we start looking for meaning, we're doomed to fail. Under this fallen world, we're doomed to fail. We all feel that frustration of living in this world, whether it's, you know, 1 week rolls into the next, rolls into the months, years, nothing changes. You know, my garden's an off, a great example. You weed, and then you're like 2 days later, you're like, oh, it's up to your knee, and it's or the lawn. I hate cutting the lawns, but you know, and we all strive, we all crave significance. We all feel as though we're made to make a difference. But it just always seems that as we search for that, it's all in vain. But our joy, our peace and our hope needs to move from beyond creation's uselessness, and we need to look to something else. In many ways, Ecclesiastes is a reality check, a wake-up call. On the one hand, it shows us the pointlessness and foolishness of thinking that, you know, if I had more money, if I had more wisdom, if I had more pleasure, then I'd be satisfied. But it doesn't come. But on the other hand, if we read the book of Ecclesiastes and recognize God's hand at work, and we shift our gaze from below the sun to above the sun, to the Creator above, you know, that created us all, and also in light of what Jesus has done on the cross for us, it will point us to the only place where our lives will find true meaning, and that's Jesus himself. And in Philippians 2:6 to 11, it says, so speaking of Jesus, who being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made humbled, being made in the human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names. I love that. The name above all names. This morning was awesome. The praise and worship was great. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus subjected himself to the meaningless frustration that and death that we all experienced. Well, we all experience in this fallen world. So that we can be free from that curse of the fall. We can be free from death. We can be freed from that meaninglessness. In Christ, life isn't meaningless. In Christ, there is meaning.
Thanks very much, Matt. Really important message, yeah? Because I just love the way you brought out that thing about, you know, it says, I'm just trying to find the spot now, what do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? And, you know, we all have days when, as Matt said, you just think, what am I doing? You know, it's another day, got to get out of bed, got to, you know. What Ecclesiastes is about, it's actually meant to be a depressing book. Did you know that? It's written, that's the literary style of it, is it's to make you go, oh, this is terrible, you know, and it's meant to make you feel uneasy because you're going, this is in the Bible, and it's just saying about how everything is so meaningless and without purpose, and you know, you can try and work hard and, you know, do all the right things, but you're going to die anyway, and you just think, oh, but this isn't what's going on here, and it's actually meant to be presented from the perspective of someone that really doesn't understand God, that is just living life for themselves, and it's meant to make you feel uneasy and meant to make you feel depressed and hopeless, because you know that that's not the reality of things. And I just love the way you turn it. So, you know, when it says, what do people gain from all their labor at which they toil under the sun, the sun? And really the question it begs is, what do people gain from all their labor at which they toil under the son, the Son of God? Because that's the thing that switches it. You know, that's the thing. We are actually here to reflect the nature and the character of the God that made everything, but also that formed us. And, you know, just to bring that back to what I was talking about in at communion today in Hebrews 13 and verse 20, it says, you know, that we've been brought into this eternal covenant through Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, to equip us for every good, to equip us with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, that we are actually, our life in Christ has the purpose that we're all looking for, you know, and people search, they'll spend thousands going to conferences to find the, you know, the next thing to give them meaning in life. They'll spend hours on YouTube listening to people ramble on about, you know, how they've found the secret to life and all this sort of stuff. But really, at the end of the day, you end up going, well, that was meaningless. I feel I'm back where I was. And the only thing that brings the change is this connection with Christ, because he's the meaning, as it says in Colossians, that he's the reason for creation. And when we connect with him, our life has meaning, because he then begins to work that meaning out in us. And so thanks, Matt. Really good stuff. Yeah. Appreciate that.